present Absolute Power by Mark Taverner, starring John Bird and Stephen Fry.
Personal assistant to the director. Typing, filing, maintaining office supplies and receiving clients. That's what I do here, isn't it?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And very well you do it too.
The successful applicant will be keen and enthusiastic. Well, I'm keen and enthusiastic.
Yes, yes. Oh, God, yes, you are, aren't you?
Well, I could apply for that.
Sandy, think of all the excellent training you're getting at Prentice McCabe.
Well, I'm not getting 14,000 rising to 16, though, am I?
No, but your promotion prospects are excellent.
When?
Well, when your training period is completed and Prentice McCabe is settled and solvent.
It's not easy looking smart every morning, you know, on just a few quid from petty cash. Mind you, it can't be easy looking like you either. Let me do that tie.
Sandy, don't fuss.
And you will answer that letter from Sir Harold Dixon, won't you? You know, the one asking why he hasn't had a reply to all his previous letters.
Yes, 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 yes. All things come to those who wait.
But he's been waiting since August.
Sandy, I know you're not just here to make the tea.
No, I'm not. I'm here to do a National Vocational Qualification in Business Administration.
Level two.
Level two. Yeah, all right. I'll make some tea then. Morning, Mr. Prentice.
Good morning, my fair young maiden from Billericay. What a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling money is coming our way. There's a bright gold...
Charles, I've just had a sausage roll.
The agency has a new client, Martin.
Oh, who is it? Some sort of big cheese?
Oh, better than that, a big American corporate cheese, a positive McCheddar, McStilton, McStilton, McEdam, with added cheese.
Oh, God, an American.
Exactly, and what do you think of when you think America?
Obesity, psychoanalysis, ruby wax.
You think dollars, lots of lovely dollars. I had a phone call last night from J. Washbrook III. He's an American.
You amaze me.
He's looking for a discreet, sophisticated agency with a high degree of political nous.
Oh, why the hell's he come to us?
I imagine he was impressed, not to say dazzled, by my intimate personal friendship with the Chancellor of the Exchequer.
You've never met the Chancellor of the Exchequer.
Martin, you really must curb this pettifogging obsession with trivial detail. This is the private sector. Look at the big picture. The minutiae will take care of themselves. Now, let us prepare. Repeat after me. There are 17 people in London who matter.
Why?
Why what?
Why are there 17 people in London who matter?
Martin, never mind why. It impresses the client. That's why.
17 people in London who matter. Well, who are they?
It doesn't matter who they are.
I mean, the Archbishop of Canterbury can't be one. He's in Canterbury. And why 17?
Because it is improbable. And being improbable, it is believable. Any fool can say there are 10 people in London who matter. But 17? It suggests inside knowledge. It suggests you are a player, and by association, the client can be one too.
What sort of idiot is going to be taken in by that?
The client is an American.
Yes, that's true.
Exactly.
Ah, oh, America, America, land of the arse.
I do so very beg your pardon.
No, it's true. They've all got them, great big enormous ones. It's because they drink Coca-Cola out of dustbins.
And are you proposing to share this crude racism with a vitally important client?
No, politically correct piffle. When you're talking America, you're talking serious arse.
Martin, all of us are talking serious arse. The point is to get paid for talking serious arse. Now, once again, there are 17 people in London who matter.
I'll take your order when you're ready, gentlemen.
Well, that is interesting. There's pan-fried place on the menu.
That's a use of the word interesting with which I'm not entirely familiar, Martin.
But the haddock is only fried haddock, not pan-fried haddock. Isn't that interesting?
Martin, we're about to have one of the most important business lunches in the brief history of this agency.
I've got a theory about this. If you order the place, they pan-fry it in a pan. But if you order the haddock, they can't use the pan because it's full of place. So... they take the haddock, wait for a sunny day, and leave it outside on the pavement for 10 minutes.
Martin, dollars. Green and crispies. Show me the way to the next little dollar. Oh, don't ask why.
Well, do you you suppose they mean by Yorkshire pudding Thai style?
Martin, there are 17 people in London.
Oh, Charles, don't take life so seriously. Excuse me, what's this?
Ah, that is a traditional Yorkshire pudding made according to an 18th century Yorkshire recipe.
Why is it Thai style?
Because once we've made it, we throw lemongrass at it and hope for the best. Ah, your guest has arrived. This way, sir.
Charles,
Mr. Washbrook.
No. Jay, please. And this must be Martin.
Martin McCabe the III.
May I tempt you to a little pouille-fouissé? Rather a good year, as a matter of fact.
Oh, well, I don't usually.
I expect you'd like a dustbin of Coca-Cola.
Well, perhaps I will have a little wine. I don't normally eat lunch.
No, of course not. Lunch. Lunch is for wimps. Breakfast is for losers. Dinner is for dropouts.
But I think perhaps I could face a little caviar.
Caviar? Well, what a good idea. Just what I was about to order. And I expect Martin would like a bit of dry toast.
No. The caviar will be fine.
And then perhaps some lobster.
The lobster? Yes, why not?
And then the rib of beef.
Oh, God. You know, on reflection, I think I might just settle for the lally of lamb. Flambéed in Vimto. He's been rather a long time in the gents, hasn't he?
Not as long as you'll be when you see the bill. Charles, three portions of caviar.
We have to think big, Martin. If this comes off, we'll be opening offices in the States, jet-setting across the global economy. Anyway, I phoned Sandy and told her to send the petty cash round by motorbike.
That won't cover it.
Do you think I should bring back and tell her to sell a couple of desks?
Right, gentlemen. Let's get down to business.
Let's indeed.
I'm looking for a British agency with media savvy and a high degree of political nous.
Martin. Now, Martin.
Oh, Mr. Washbrook, we've got so much political nous that the ear of the government is our favourite orifice. Sorry, we cut that one. We were worried you might be some thin-skinned Bible basher who'd take offence.
Martin.
Mr. Washbrook.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mr. Washbrook.
Yes.
Mr. Washbrook, there are 17 people in London who matter.
Are there?
Yes.
Screw them. Gentlemen, let me lay my cards on the table. I represent socialism in America now.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't. You can't. You represent international capital and my chance of getting hold of some.
I am the president of socialism in America now.
You swine. Utter total swine. Socialism? Given a quick cursory glance at the United States, how would you say socialism in America's doing, actually? Give us your half-time assessment, Ron.
We haven't yet won the hearts and minds of the people, but...
I think that's fair. Do you think that's fair, Martin?
Yes, I think it might be true to say that the monster-raving loony parties won more elections than you have.
America, the most rampantly, unashamedly capitalist society on earth, and I end up with the only living socialist in New York.
I owe you an apology.
You owe me for caviar, lobster, rib of beef, claret, burgundy, and a creme brulee Granny Smith.
Hey, listen, I'll get the lunch.
A socialist will pay for the lunch?
You see, I'm a rich socialist.
Ah.
I am a very rich socialist.
Well, they are the very best kind, of course. Don't you think, Martin?
Does this mean Prentice McCabe is not paying for the lunch?
You got it.
In that case, I'll start again with the caviar.
Oh, Mr. McCabe, Sir Harold Dixon phoned.
Oh, tell him I'm out.
Well, I did. You were out.
Well, if he phones while I'm in, tell him I'm dead.
Jay, do come through. Some coffee, please, Sandy.
Okay.
You know, I don't want to be discouraging, but after your experience of America, what makes you think that Britain is ripe for the socialist message?
Socialists have been having rather a lean time of it over here.
Especially in the Labour Party.
You see, what the socialist movement needs is a win.
Well, I would broadly go along with that, yes. The Berlin Wall, the collapse of the Soviet Empire, it does suggest that relegation is looming.
We need to win a high-profile election. An election that the world is watching.
And you think this can happen in Tony Blair's Britain? You haven't been taking lessons in political judgment from William Hague, have you?
I've always admired naive American optimism.
But... Gentlemen. Now, I am prepared to pay you a generous commission and to put a substantial sum at your disposal if You will use all your brains, skill, and wit to secure the election of a socialist mayor of London.
So, you have never handed over £2,000 to a complete stranger in Shepherd's Market?
Of course I haven't.
Or asked a friend to lie for you?
Truth is a socialist principle.
Is it?
Yes, Martin, of course it is. Now, have you ever made a complete screw-up of running the health service?
Of course not.
Now, can I just ask you about your background? You have a master's degree in philosophy, but you're working as a street cleaner in Walthamstow.
Yes.
Is there a history of mental illness in your family?
Certainly not.
Mind you, I suppose there's much call for philosophy in Walthamstow.
Mr. McCabe, theory becomes a weapon in the hands of the masses. I read Marx's philosophy. You can't join the workers' struggle without joining the workers. Can I ask you something? What's in this for you? For Prentice McCabe, whoever you are?
It is the cause, my dear old darling. It is the cause. There are still some of us left, you know, who believe in the struggle. Oh, don't be fooled by all this. The baubles and trinkets of an outmoded system. I spit them.
Sorry, Charles, just try and get out of the way of passing thunderbolts.
Ah, comrade youth trainee.
Comrade, Mr. Prentice, you asked me to remind you having a mug of coffee with the Albanian ambassador in half an hour.
Thank you, comrade.
Do I get extra money for doing this?
Don't be ridiculous. Leave the room immediately.
I'm not going to be somebody's mouthpiece, you know. I'm going to say exactly what I want to say.
My dear fellow, of course you are. It's just that we're going to help you say it.
Tony Blair, the illegitimate offspring of Margaret Thatcher. Tony Blair's third way is a capitalist lie. This election is a lie. The so-called Labour Party, a sham democracy to stifle the voice of the people. I'm not even going to waste your time talking about the other party. Let's leave them to sink in their capitalist sleeves.
Oh, word, he sounds full of passionate sincerity.
Yeah, well, that's what Washbrook's paying us for.
Let's make this a people's election. Not an election for millionaires and Blair Stooges. An election for all the people of London. White and black, the poor, the unemployed, and everybody suffering and sweltering on the London Underground so that Tony's cronies can swill their champagne on the gravy train. Yes. Oh, yes, my friends, we've had enough of signal failures at White City and passenger incidents at West Ruislip. We've had enough of democracy failures in Downing Street and candidate incidents in the Labour Party. He talks about the people. Let's make this the election when the people talk to him.
Oh. A splendid effort, Martin.
Thank you, Charles.
Yeah,
my pager. When the pager sounds, it means somebody has gone off message. I have been summoned, Martin.
Psst, Charles, over here.
Ah, over there.
Are you sure this is safe?
Of course it's safe. This is Sir John Bert's leaving party. There's nobody here at all.
We've got a job for you. Something that should be right up your street. Something a bit messy and mucky.
Do tell me more.
Well, you know the Prime Minister only ever agreed to have an elected London mayor so that he could appear to be doing something radical.
Well, isn't that rather the line being taken by this socialist chappy?
Charles, this socialist chappy has got to be stopped.
Ah. Oh, dear.
You must have seen the opinion polls. If this keeps up, he's going to win. This isn't meant to be a proper election. This is supposed to be a shoe-in for Blair's candidate. I don't mind telling you, we've made a pretty fair lash-up of this.
Oh, do you think so?
And that was before this independent socialist candidate showed up.
Stopping him may be a bit difficult, actually.
We pay you to do things that are difficult. Damn it, Charles, you did an excellent job on the Tory campaign. Prentice McCabe's finest hour.
Well, that, of course, was not so difficult.
As usual, Downing Street is to be kept out of it.
And you will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
I don't care how you do it. I don't want to know the details. I want this socialist candidate discredited, shafted, ruined, wrecked.
Grief, man, you sound like you've swallowed Neil Kinnock. Well, Martin, you can't say it's exactly unexpected.
I had been waiting for something of the sort.
It does rather raise a moral dilemma.
A moral dilemma? This is Prentice McCabe. It raises nothing of the kind. It raises a practical question. This agency is now more or less solvent.
Thanks in no small measure to our government retainer for doing Downing Street's dirty work.
On the other hand, J. Washbrook III is very rich indeed. Do you know, it's a wonderful thing when you think what middle-class guilt has given us.
Charity, philanthropy, Esther Ranson.
It has given us a very rich American socialist longing to throw his money away. Such a client is not to be lightly tossed aside, government retainer or no government retainer.
Well, here's another practical problem. This candidate has been personally vetted by Prentice McCabe. Let's face it, Charles, if there's muck to be found, you're the man to find it. You went through his background with a fine tooth comb.
Yes, he is purity personified, isn't he?
Hello, Prentice McCabe. Hold on, please.
Sandy, what the devil is that?
It's Chopin's funeral march. I've just put Sandy on hold. I thought it'd make a nice change from Greensleeves.
No, I don't really think so, Sandy.
Oh, all right. La 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 la.
Sandy, give me the phone. Who is it?
Sir Harold Dixon.
Oh. Good morning, Sir Harold. Bear with me one moment. Martin, what work have we done on the Dixon account?
Very little.
Sir Harold, my people have researched the background pretty thoroughly on this. I'm just thumbing through the file now. Martin, what advice have we got for Sir Harold?
Very little.
Sir Harold, our feeling is that we should play a long game with regard to this one. How long a game, Martin?
Oh, tell him in these situations it's early doors.
In these situations it's early doors, Sir Harold. I'm sorry? What the hell am I talking... Well, Sir Harold, can I ring you back when I've run that up my colleague's flagpole and seen who's vomited? Do you think we could make Sir Harold the first victim of the socialist revolution?
Of course, it's a term of abuse, isn't it? Socialist. If to care about our hospitals is to be socialist, then I am guilty. And proud of it. If to care about the deplorable state of our ambulance service is to be socialist, then I am guilty and proud of it. If to want property for people, not property that's so overpriced it's out of the reach of people, is socialist, then I am guilty and proud of it. And if to regard Tony Blair with his henchmen, his cronies, his spin doctors, and his dirty tricks departments as the biggest humbug and hypocrite ever to have occupied Downing Street is to be socialist, then I am guilty and proud of it. And so, in your heart of hearts, are you.
You don't think your speechwriting effort tonight was just a little over the top, do you?
It wasn't my effort. The People's Morris says speechwriters are the parasites of democracy. A politician should say precisely what he thinks in the way he wants to say it.
Lord, that's appalling.
Frankly, Charles, this thing is out of our control. I don't think we could stop it now if we wanted. Have you seen the latest opinion polls? There's a growing chance that our boy, if he is our boy, is going to win.
Yes, yes, I've seen the polls.
There are millions of ordinary people fed up with the two major parties and willing to give him a chance.
It's a question of do we or don't we?
Do we or don't we what?
Oh, come on, Martin, this is hardly a severe test of the wheeze maker's art, is it? No elaborate wheezing is needed here. If we simply leaked to the press that the People's Morris is being funded by foreign money, specifically by American dollars, it would kill his campaign stone dead.
Yes, but we wouldn't leak that to the press, would we?
Enjoy your meal.
No.
How would you like to share my McRibs?
About as much as I'd like to share your McBowels, Jay. If Prentice McCabe goes stateside, does that mean we get to eat McRibs every day?
You bet.
Well, I'm not turning into a wide-load lard ass with good teeth for anyone.
Martin, the big picture. Offices from New York to Missouri. Concord between London and New York. Prentice McCabe Worldwide Enterprises.
No.
Worth a wobbly bot, wouldn't you say?
No, no. Martin is perfectly right.
Martin is never perfectly right about anything.
No, look, I mean, I'm the president of socialism in America. Here I am, inflicting our capitalist culture on you.
No, no, not at all.
Yes, yes, he is. Couldn't we go somewhere a bit more left-wing, like the Ritz or the Savoy?
You're right, you're right.
Jay, we love McDonald's.
No, we don't.
Look, I insist. Look, I tell you what. Leave this embarrassing imperialist trash and be my guest tonight. What do we have lunch today?
Oh, that's a little haunt of ours. Yes, we have no polenta.
As my guests. No, I insist. Look, you guys are capitalists, and I'm using you, right? Believe me, I'm using you.
Charles, look, no disrespects, Jay, but I like England. I'm not at all sure about going stateside.
Well, that's okay, Martin. I'm not offended. Look, I tell you what. If Prentice is to move over to the States to use my money for the things I believe in, you can stay here and do all the work of running the London Inn.
When you say work...
Anyhow, before I make any final decision, I want to see you win this election.
But you see, Archie, it's rather out of our hands.
But this is democracy run riot. We're not used to it. We're used to having things our own way.
Little to be done, I fear.
We've always managed to arrange things in the past.
Oh, I don't know. Scottish Parliament? You cocked that up a bit, didn't you?
Well, yes, there was that.
Made a monumental horlicks of the Welsh Assembly.
Well, yes, there was that.
Abolition of the House of Lords? Now, there was a study in sustained asininity.
Well, yes, yes, you could say so.
You know, Archie, for a bunch of control freaks, you're a sorry collection of underachievers, aren't you?
Look, our candidate selection for Mayor of London has been...
A cock-up. Horlicks. Asinine.
Well, yes, but... Oh, Charles, I'm desperate.
Yes. Yes, you are, aren't you? So, you see, it's goodbye, Archie.
Well, I never was very happy about us being a sort of unofficial arm of the government anyway. It did seem to raise some ethical questions. Charles, have you ever been bothered by an ethical question?
Oh, no. Well, it was once, possibly, when I was about 12. The moment passed. Come on, Martin, you're not telling me you've got ethical hang-ups about all that lovely American lolly.
No, I suppose not.
Sorry to disturb you, but there's an urgent phone call. It's from the manager from Yes, We Have No Polenta.
What on earth can they want?
Well, probably inviting us to a free lunch. Honoured customers, you know. Orlando, how are you? Certainly I remember the caviar. Yes, and the lobsters. No, there must be some mistake. He's an American philanthropist. He insisted. Yes, I quite understand. Yes.
Charles, you've gone the colour of pea soup with added frog.
The lunch.
Yeah, well, what about it?
J. Washbrook III wrote the cheque. It has bounced 8 miles high.
What?
It has bounced.
Oh, now there's a wheeze.
You see, Charles... Socialism is a very noble ideal.
Is it?
Damn right. But you know what's wrong with the socialist movement? It's full of crooks. It's always been full of crooks. We're just not good enough for the philosophy.
You utter hypocrite.
No, Charles. You do me an injustice. I really am a socialist. And I really am a crook.
But why? I mean, why?
Because it was so much fun. There's limited pleasure in being the only living socialist in New York. Also, nobody in New York would have believed this for 2 minutes. The minute I met you, I just loved your naive British optimism. Admit it, Charles, you've been, how would you put it, out-wheezed.
I am never out-wheezed.
Come on. I struck a kind of blow for the old movement. You should have seen yourself. Offices stateside, flitting about in Concord. Oh, boy. I loved it.
And you never even paid for lunch.
No, but it was a hell of a lunch, wasn't it?
Just one last little thing.
Mm-hmm.
Are you or are you not rich?
Well, put it this way. As a man to man, lend me the plane fare home.
And he even got the plane fare off you. What a performer.
Well, it was either that or he threatened to sell the whole thing to the tabloids.
Oh, that reminds me. Have you seen the Evening Standard?
Martin, I'm in no mood for reading the papers. It may possibly have dawned on you that we are now completely out of work.
Not entirely, Charles. You see, J. Washbrook III did not only write a cheque at the restaurant, he also wrote a cheque to cover Morris's mail shot to 5 million Londoners.
And?
8 miles high. And he wrote a cheque to cover the rent on the headquarters of Socialism Now. The capitalists have repossessed it. Oh, and he wrote a cheque for the use of the meetings hall where Morris delivered his tirades. Oh, yes, the paper.
Socialism can't pay the bills. People's candidate arrested.
He's been charged with fraud and deception.
I would have thought that made him admirably qualified to be mayor of London.
This email's just come.
Congratulations as usual. Appreciate what a difficult assignment this was and have doubled your fee. Please eat this email, Archie.
So, we're back in business.
Well, I don't know that we shall mark this down as one of our triumphs, Martin.
No, but you've learned something.
And what might that be?
That there are even worse crooks and liars in the world than Prentice McCabe.
Get out, Sandy.
You've been listening to Absolute Power by Mark Taverner, starring John Bird and Stephen Fry, with Siobhan Hayes, Tony Gardner, Colin McFarlane and Hugh Parker. The music was by Matthew Scott. The producer was Paul Schlesinger.